Welcome back to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson, and I'm working today with Dr. David Maines, the director of SermonCoach.com, and we're talking about how to help pastors, and that includes pastors of all kinds, of all genders, whether you're a priest in a Roman Catholic church or a priest in an Episcopal church. When we use the word pastor, it's an all-encompassing word. Helping pastors form or create more effective life-transforming sermons. And last time, David, let's review for a moment. What was the gist of our previous conversation?
Well, I was saying to ministers, early on in the sermon preparation process, you need to answer four key questions. And we only talked about one of those. And that's, what's the subject I'm talking about? So you need to make sure in your mind that's very clear. I'm talking about, and we use some textual illustrations, I'm talking about hospitality. So everything I say has to center on that given subject. And once I know the subject, I've got a beginning. Then I have to answer three more questions early on, and we haven't gotten to those yet. But we hinted, Dean, that we were going to talk about not only a sermon that's an individual sermon, but sermon series. And we didn't get into the series idea except just very briefly, okay? So that's where I kind of like to head this time.
Okay, so we've covered how to start working on a given sermon. We didn't talk about sermon series, so let's talk about sermon series.
Okay, let's say a minister is going to talk on the book of Galatians. And the question in terms of Galatians is, what's the subject that the author Paul is writing about? And I don't think I want to put you on the spot here because I don't think that's fair. So I'll tell you in my mind what I see as the subject. There are some books that maybe have a couple of subjects, and we can cover those a little bit later. But Galatians is pretty clear. The book is about freedom. He's saying you have tremendous freedom in Christ. It is not a series of laws where you say, do I measure up to this series like the Old Testament was? But now Christ has come into your life, and there is immense freedom. However, it's not a freedom that is licensed to do anything you want. It is a freedom that is responsible as a follower of Jesus Christ. So if you ask me what Galatians is about, I would say it's about responsible freedom. Okay, now the truth is you pick that up as you read through the whole of the book. You don't get to that until you've gone through several chapters. But if you say, why is Paul writing that letter? He's writing the letter because he wants these people to be able to live in this responsible freedom that is theirs in Christ. So you don't always have a list of rules that you look and say, am I living in this way that it's kosher or not? No, you have tremendous freedom in Jesus, okay? Now, there is a response he's asking for with that, which says, okay, now, in order to experience that responsible freedom, and we haven't gotten to question two, which is, what's the response you're going for? But he says you have to learn how to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, and so on. So if you kind of reduce Galatians to its essence, you have tremendous freedom in Jesus Christ, freedom to live in a responsible way. Now, this is what the subject is about. Now, how long will it take to lay that out so that people understand what responsible freedom means and also how to live that way? Well, I'd say I could probably do that in, it would take me probably 4 or 5 Sundays. So in my mind, that's how long it takes to preach through the book of Galatians. Now, the truth of the matter is, it has nothing to do with how many sentences are in the book or how many paragraphs or how many chapters or verses. The question is, what is the topic of the book? That makes sense? And once I know what the topic is or the subject I'm dealing with, then that's what I have to teach about. And you don't actually get to that subject until, again, you're several chapters into it. So you have to introduce it earlier. Otherwise, you spend a lot of time talking about things the subject is not even being raised yet.
Yeah, the subject would not be apparent to people. If you had just started at chapter 1, verse 1 of Galatians and just started to exposit the text, people aren't going to know where you're headed because, as you say, the subject doesn't come up until you're, well, really into chapter 3. So you have to show them where you're going. You have to say, please, I'm welcoming you onto this train. And by the way, this train is going to Philadelphia. Going to freedom.
Yeah, that's very well said. And the truth is, a lot of times, if you just start preaching it textually, verse by verse, I would say, maybe is a better way to say it, verse by verse, you don't know where you're going. So you're being the one who's teaching them what Galatians is about, and you don't know where you're headed. And then you have a situation where it's not going to work. So you have to nail what that subject is early on.
Yeah, it reminds me of when we talk about training adult educators, teaching is not simply voicing a whole lot of factual information, fact, 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 fact. That's not helpful. You have to put it into a framework. You have to give the students, or in this case of a preacher, the congregation, the opportunity to see what that framework is so that they can hang the information you're sharing in that framework.
Yeah, you're saying this better than I do. You're great. Thank you. I'm wanting to applaud.
Okay. I don't know how to respond to that except to ask you for another example. You talked about Galatians. How about another example of how you preach a series?
Well, I've been working for several years on the book of Revelation. Mm. So now I'm tackling something that is a real question, whether I can...
That's one tough book.
Yeah, it is. Although I feel like, I don't want to sound cocky, but if you say, what is the book about? It's about the end times. So there's no question that's what is there. And the end times... The result of Revelation is that God will win, but also it will be a bloody conflict. History doesn't just go on indefinitely. It ends with this final war between the forces of good and evil, with light and darkness, God and Satan, and so on. And there will be terrible times that people go through. So what is the book about? It's saying, I'm preparing you for what is going to happen, and it's not going to be easy, but just be aware that God is going to win. So basically now you have a framework, and if you're going to talk about Revelation, you're talking about the end times, which include terrible persecution for believers who are still on this earth, but also the awareness that in faith Jesus will become victorious. So that's your framework that you're working with. So you can scare the daylights out of people by talking about Revelation unless you give the whole picture. And then what you want to do is to encourage people to be faithful, to be prepared, and so on. But that's again, here's the subject. I know where I'm headed. Now I'm going to fit the rest of the book into that subject, which is very clear to people now.
Okay, that makes good sense to me. We have to have this framework, the subject, on which we can put all of the information that a preacher is going to share. What's the contrast? What's the approach that most preachers take when they're preparing to preach a series or a series of sermons?
I think we actually hinted at it before. The traditional way, and the way most of the time this is done, is to say, let's start with chapter 1, verse 1, and work our way down the verses, okay? It's just not the way people learn sometimes. I mean, if you get a letter, say you get a letter in the mail, and it's a very important letter, you look at that thing very fast and you say, what's the bottom line this person's writing? I want to know, is she going to accept my proposal or isn't she? And you would never say, okay, I want to read the first paragraph. I'm going to think about that for a week and then I'll go back and read the next. You want to know what the big picture is. And that's exactly what I'm saying. Once you get this letter or whatever, you say, what's the subject so I know what I'm dealing with? And not only I know what I'm dealing with, but my people know what I'm dealing with.
Yeah, that's very interesting to me. We teach people how to write letters and how to write memos in business courses, and we tell them that in the first paragraph of every communication, they must tell the recipient what they want that recipient to do. If you don't tell the receiver what you want them to do in that first paragraph, they're going to get lost in all of the information that you give them in a communication. Far better to get that out of the way than if you have to give them background information that leads them back to what you want them to do. That's okay. Well, the letters in Scripture, the epistles, and all of the books are not written that way. So no. Getting the subject up front in your sermon is very, very important for the people to understand where you're going.
I'm going to get you to teach these courses, Dean. You do very well. As you say it, I never thought this before, but that's the way newspaper writing is. If you read the first paragraph, you got a pretty good understanding of where the rest of the article is going to go. So, it's just the fair thing to the writer, or the reader, rather, and especially in this day when they may not read the sixth paragraph. They just read the first one.
Yeah, that's all too true. What if a minister is working on a book of history like 1 Kings, or how about the Gospels, or even the book of Acts?
Disregard everything that I've said. You know, if you go through, say, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, those are basic historical accounts of the kings, and they all are stories in themselves. If you go into the life of Christ, the early church, which is the book of Acts, you have a concise thing if you say the book of Acts is about the early church and how it grew and expanded and so on. The Gospels are the life of Christ, but you can't do the same thing. You almost have to say, okay, what am I going to take from that book and then get the subject? It's either a parable Jesus taught, it's a part in his life, what was the importance of his death and resurrection, and so on. So the historical, they're writing, which is a whole different way of writing. They're writing what has happened, and then you draw those lessons from history. Now, you still have to come up with a subject, but it's not as easy to get a subject for the whole of the book. You're basically getting a subject for whatever episode of that book you pick out.
Yeah, so in a sense, if I hear you right, books that are written as chronicles or descriptive narratives like the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're telling the story of Jesus each from the perspective of that particular writer. But they're telling it in a sequential way. They're chronicling. You have to look for the subject in each chapter, and I don't mean chapter of the Bible, but in each chapter of the chronicle, each story, if you will, of the chronicle has a subject, and you have to dig out that subject and make sure you include that in your sermon. And likely you're going to. If you're going to preach through the Gospels, you're going to take one story, or if there are sometimes there are like three related parables, those three related parables all have one subject.
Right.
So you're going to be dividing your text, your preaching, into the subject areas of each of the chronicles that you might, when I say chronicles there, I don't mean the book of Chronicles,
but I understand.
The chronicling method of telling a story.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense to me. All right, how about the book of Psalms? There's a popular book to preach on. How do we preach on the Psalms?
Well, the Psalms are prayers, and it's not just, I mean, they're all different. They're all different kind of prayers. And so again, you pick whatever that psalm is that you're working on, and that psalm will have a subject. Sometimes you'll have a psalm that could have several possible subjects. That doesn't matter to me, but you have to then determine which subject you're going to preach on from that given psalm. Okay, and then if you want to cover the whole psalm, then you're going to have to say, well, there are several subjects here, and there may be some I haven't even seen that I haven't been able to pick out, but this is the one I want to talk about. So you're clear in your sermon that you've nailed what the subject is you're talking about.
Very good. So again, what's the main point we're talking about this time?
Well, I'm saying when preaching through a book of the Bible, and we're taking a book that has a given subject, like an epistle or whatever, start your sermon preparation by deciding on the overall subject of the book and then the response being called for. We haven't really talked about response nearly to the degree we need to, so maybe that's where we head next time, huh?
Very good. We invite you to join us next time on the Sermon Coach podcast. And, of course, all of the resources available to you at sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. Dr. David Maines, thank you for being with me today. And come back and join us the next time, won't you, folks, for our next podcast.